We are looking at Surah Az-Zumar, which is the 39th Surah of the Noble Quran. And in this Surah, around verse number 29 and 30, Allah Rabbul Izzah cites the similitude of a mushrik, a polytheist, and a muwahid, a monotheist. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this example and puts forth, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَ رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ. Each master is fighting with the other for complete ownership. That you have a person who is owned by one master and a slave that is owned by several masters, and each master is fighting to keep ownership. Each master is fighting for his work to be completed by the slave. And the slave caught up in the struggle, the slave is left bewildered and has to suffer the ill tempers of each upset master, that you didn't do my work, you didn't do my work. That is the position of a person receiving multiple instructions. And on the other side is a man who is owned entirely by one person. This slave enjoys peace of mind because he owes loyalty to only one master. Allah Rabbul Izzah asked the question, هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا? Can the two be equal? Judging the state of mind of each slave, the fact becomes evident that they cannot be the same. Similar is the example of the polytheist and the monotheist. The monotheist worships one Allah alone, begs all his needs from Allah alone. On the other hand, the mushrik has several gods. They have to worship one, bow to another, prostrate to a third, etc., etc., etc. The difference between the mushrik and the muwahid is extremely vast. And the two cannot be reconciled. And that's why Allah Rabbul Izzah ends of the verse by saying, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. And we also at this moment should take out a moment to say, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah, who has revealed guidance and exposed to us the fallacy of shirk. That He knows best, He is the one, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most people do not know, but Allah knows. Most people fail to make a distinction between right and wrong. Thereafter, addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Indeed, you shall certainly pass away, and they shall also pass away. And in this verse, Allah consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by telling him that those who oppose you, O Nabi of Allah, in this world, will surely, or very soon, pass into the hereafter, where they will suffer the terrible consequences of the evil deeds. In Tafsir Jalalain, it is stated that the mushrikeen of Makkah were eagerly awaiting the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that, we can't just wait for this Muhammad to pass away, then we'll be free of him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the mushrikeen will also taste death, and they can rest assured that if they are certain to escape death, that is not possible. However, everyone will taste death. And that is why Allah says in Surah Anbiya, if you pass away, will they live forever? Never. So they want your death, but they do not realize that death will also overtake them. ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ. Then on the day of Qiyamah, you will all quarrel in the presence of your Rabb. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu had mentioned, and he says that we used to recite this verse for a long time, but never understood how we would come to dispute when our kitab is one, our qibla is one, our haram is one, our nabi is one. How is it that we came to dispute? And then we began to wage war against each other, and we realized that the verse was with reference to us, that ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ. That you will certainly dispute before your sustainer. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said that when we Muslims faced each other in combat during the Battle of Siffin, we realized that this verse actually referred to us. And although Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu interpret the verse as referring to them, the general purport of the words would refer to all disputes and quarrels that would be raised before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Sayyidina Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first disputants to bring their case before Allah will be two neighbors. The one whose rights was denied shall claim the rights before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Do you even realize that a neighbor will come on the day of Qiyamah and claim his or her rights? And sometimes it may be a small thing, like you having a dog that barks or cock that crows, or that you have, you know, you create an environment where it is disturbing and disruptive to your neighbor. These are things that are affect people on a daily basis on the day of Qiyamah. Not only neighbors, but subjects will claim their rights from their rulers. The oppressed shall lay charges against their oppressors. Creditors will claim their money from their debtors. People will lay charges of backbiting and slander. Allah, this person backbited me. This person slandered me. And those are the type of things that will be brought forth on the day of Qiyamah. And in short, every person wishes to avoid being a defendant on the day of Qiyamah. And if we do not want to be defending ourselves on the day of Qiyamah, and then we should never misappropriate the right of another person throughout our lives. And if that has happened, then to immediately make amends for that. Moving further, the previous verses discussed the believer, the mu'min, the muwahid, the monotheist, the kuffar, the disbeliever, the mushrik, the polytheist. And now the next verse discusses the ultimate end of each of the groups. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَذَّبَ بِالصِّدْقِ إِذْ جَاءَهُ. Who can be more unjust than he who lies about Allah? And some of the lies that the mushrikeen spoke about Allah was that they said, Allah has taken a partner. Allah has children. Another lie they said was that whenever they were stopped from an evil, they said, Allah has commanded us to do this. And Allah, or they said that we found our forefathers. وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا. Another, they falsified the truth and they link lies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Quran came to them, they falsified the Quran and they asked various questions. وَكَذَّبَ بِصِدْقِ إِذْ جَاءَ. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Is there no abode for the disbelievers in Jahannam? And this verse makes it clear that such people are doomed to Jahannam. They will be thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam. Allah Rabbul Izzah then describes the mu'mineen and he says that, وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. The one who brings the truth and confirms it, جَاءَ بِصِدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ and confirms it, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. They are the ones who will be from the abstinent, from the pious ones. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُنَا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For them are all that they desire by their Rabb. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُنَا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That is the recompense for those who do good deeds. That is the recompense. لِيُكَفِّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَسْوَى الَّذِي عَمِلُوا وَيَجَزِيَهُمْ أَجْرًا بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So that Allah may excuse them for their evil deeds and grant them the best reward for the good deeds that they've carried out. So the one who brings the truth and confirms it, this verse refers to the Anbiya alayhi salam and all those who perpetuated their responsibility after that. Whoever continued with the work of the Anbiya, continued with the conveying the message Sidna Abdullah bin Abbas has mentioned that the truth is the kalima, la ilaha illallah. And the one who brings the truth refers to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So those who brought it and those who continue propagating it, all from the ummah, there will be great rewards. They will have lahum ma yasha'una 'inda rabbihim. They shall have whatever they desire by their Rabb. Dhalika jazaa'ul muhsinin. That is the reward for those who do good. Liyukaffirallahu 'anhum aswa' alladhi 'amilu. So that Allah may excuse them for their evil deeds. Wa yajziyahum ajrahum. And grant them the best of rewards for the good deeds that they carried out. So this verse means that Allah has made His promise of reward apparent in this world, so that we may excel in good deeds. The reason why there are various rewards that are outlined to myself and yourself in the Quran, and that has been outlined for the entire humanity, it is an incentive. It is to motivate us. It is to propel us towards action. And as a result of this, we are then to be driven towards action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your evil deeds will be wiped out. And more than that, Allah will pardon you for whatever evil deeds have been perpetrated. That is the benefit of doing good deeds, and that is the benefit of continuously striving for the sake of Allah, Rabbul Izzah. So that brings us up to verse number 35 of Surah Az-Zumar. In these verses, there is a very strong parable that is put forth between the believers, the muwahidun, and the disbelievers, the mushrikun. And what is the end result, and very strong motivation in terms of propelling believers towards doing good deeds.